you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. How good it is to know that the name of the Lord, Fred, is a strong tower. We can run to him and he can put his loving arms around us and we are safe. I love that. Great reminder from Proverbs 18:10. Well, hello there. I hope and pray that your week is coming along well. It's Joey Kroll with you on this Thursday, July the 16th, 2015. Wow, lots of stuff happening this week. Let's start off with Jason. He had his kidney stone surgery. I think it was on Tuesday. That was well, and hopefully he'll be back with us tomorrow back in the studio. So be praying for him as he is recovering. Also, yesterday, Mark made the special announcement about Erwin Lutzer. He'll be coming down as part of our 20th birthday celebration event next year, Thursday, April the 7th, 2016. Of course, you know, Dr. Lutzer from the program Running to Win and the Moody Church Hour and just a dynamic speaker. So we're still kind of working out the details, but we want to give you a head start so you can circle it on your calendar for 2016, Thursday, April the 7th. As part of our 20th anniversary celebration. So praise the Lord. So again, put that down, circle it on your calendar. In fact, I don't think I even have a 2016 calendar, but mark it down somewhere where you won't forget. Thursday night, April the 7th, 2016. Again, we are still working out the details, but Phil Shepard from the Moody Broadcasting Network will be the MC that night. So lots of great stuff happening. It's all part of our 20th anniversary, and as we head into our 20th year of broadcasting, we are looking for friends, and hopefully that's you, to join the 2020 challenge to give a gift of $20 a month for the next 20 months. You can pay that over the next 20 months, or you can just pay it all right here on the spot. You can sign up for the 2020 challenge at our website, greatnewsradio.org. Then click on the 2020 banner, and it'll take you through some information where you can sign up there. Or if you don't want to deal with that online stuff, just call Karen, and she'll set you up. 217-367-7777. 217-367-7777. Of course, you know, we are listener supported, which means we depend on God's grace, but we also depend on his people, that's you and me, financially supporting this ministry. So thank you so much as you pray and as you give. Well, last week has been kind of fun, exciting. We had my grandma come down, and she left on Monday morning, and we just had a great time. And when you're hosting for about 5 or 6 days straight, it can get kind of tiring. We'll say that. But we all had a great time. We were sad to see her go as she went back home on Monday morning. But it was so nice to have that family time. And, you know, as you get older, too, you learn to appreciate that stuff a little bit more. Can I get an amen on that? So we had lots of fun with that. And Aubrey and I, my wife and I, we've been talking about what we're going to do for our son's 13th birthday party next month. This kid is growing. We tell him, you know, put a brick on your head or something. Quit eating your Wheaties. I mean, stop growing. So he's growing up, but he does love the Lord, and he also searches the scriptures and study God's word. Just so proud of him. So he's going to be turning 13 next month. So we're kind of preparing what we're going to do. Maybe have a pool party. But, you know, growing up, I always wanted a pool party, but my birthday was always in November, and I grew up in Chicago, so not unless you want to go to the hospital, can't have a pool party for my birthday. But we got lots of stuff coming up in our family, but also here at the radio ministry as well. Now, if your family is looking forward to just kind of going out, enjoying the nice summer temperatures and take advantage of some outdoor events, I encourage you to take a look at our community calendar page, greatnewsradio.org, and click on events. Remember the days when we came to the Lord, we received God's gift of salvation through Christ. We were just on fire for him. And for some of us, that fire, that sizzle, kind of fizzled. Well, today we're going to be talking about returning to our first love. It's coming up right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
Love is not proud. Love does not boast. Love, after all, matters the most. Love does not run. Love does not hide. Love does not keep locked inside. Love is the river that flows through. Love never fails.
That's right. We are lifting up and celebrating the name of Jesus today here on this Thursday, July the 16th, 2015. And I don't know about you, but we've all had at least one item we used to cherish that now lies forgotten in our closet. Maybe for some of us, maybe a pair of running shoes from back when we used to run, or maybe a guitar that hasn't been tuned in a few years. I'll tell you what, friend, losing our enthusiasm for a hobby isn't so bad. But it's a whole different matter when we're talking about relationships. Can I get an amen? I mean, marriages and friendships may start out strong and be bonded with love, but if we're not too careful, other things might get in the way. I don't know about you, but we can get so busy with life that our loved ones get crowded out. We may wake up one day and discover that our hearts have strayed. We've lost our love. But friend, let me ask you a question today. What if we're not talking about a spouse or a friend, but we're talking about Jesus? See, in Revelation chapter 2, we get a glimpse of a church that had been busy doing many things for God, yet ultimately lost its first love for Jesus. So if you have your Bible today, turn to Revelation chapter 2. And today we're going to talk about returning to our first love. So Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found to be false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Well, there's a couple of different things here. If you study the book of Revelation, it can be so confusing. All right, can I get an amen? So it says here, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, Revelation 2, 1. Now, the Greek word for angel means messenger. And it can either be maybe an angelic messenger or a human messenger, such as a pastor who would be responsible for delivering God's message to the churches. So a lot of people believe that to the angel of the church in Ephesus, this word is being delivered to the pastor or the leader of that church. Then you also see here, in verse 1, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand. The seven stars represent the angels or pastors of the seven churches. And then we see here golden lampstands. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write to these words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. That represents the seven churches in Asia Minor, according to Revelation 2 and 3. So in the book of Revelation, God granted John, who's writing this, a vision about people and events yet to come. Jesus instructed the apostle to write letters to seven churches in Asia Minor, starting with the church at Ephesus, which we just talked about. So while it appeared Jesus was pleased with everything this church was doing, he had one simple yet stinging critique. Let's look at the positives first. They worked hard for the Lord, it says. They had patient endurance and they did not tolerate evil. They also rooted out false prophets. They endured much for Jesus' name without growing weary. Now, we look at this list and we think, wow, this is a pretty awesome church. I want to go to this church. However, the church at Ephesus is a perfect example of the statement, good things are the enemy of the best thing. See, the horrifying statement Jesus made to the church at Ephesus was that even though they were currently doing many good things, they had abandoned the best thing, which was their love for Jesus. See, according to Christ, the greatest commandment is what? Yeah, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your mind. Friend, our love for Jesus is the most important thing about us. We must hold it as tightly as possible. Now, maybe you're married today and you're listening and you know that honeymoon love. There's nothing like it, right? You know, when you first get married, the newness and the intensity of your love turns everything in your life upside down. But something seems to change over the years. Over time, a spouse may ask, "Why don't you love me the way you used to love me?" And that was the question Jesus had for the church of Ephesus. Why don't you love me like you used to love me? And here's an even tougher question, friend. Is Jesus saying the same to you today? See, the church at Ephesus may have lost its first love, but Jesus offered them a clear solution. Twice in verse 5, he used the word repent. See, on a practical level, to repent means we change the way we're living and adopt a new way. Thinking specifically about salvation, we repent when we surrender our lives to Jesus, right? Unfortunately, we don't understand that the word repent goes far beyond a one-time experience of repentance. See, to be a healthy follower of Christ, we must continually turn our backs to our sin and choose to live for Him instead. Repentance is a daily discipline. See, I always thought repentance and dying to self was just a one-time deal when I came to Christ. No, it's a daily thing. See, for the church at Ephesus to repent, to turn back, meant they would have to do the things they did at first, according to verse 5. Jesus called them to do what it was that they were doing in the beginning when their spiritual walk was so strong. And Jesus laid out a condition in verse 5. If the church refused to repent, He would come and remove their lampstand from its place. See, when you blow out a candle, the candle loses its ability to give light, to have influence over the darkness. See, if the church at Ephesus did not repent and return to a love for Jesus, He would remove their influence. So what did the Spirit say to the church at Ephesus and to us? Well, they're told to remember. Friend, think about the healthiest and most productive season in your spiritual life. If you find yourself at a place where your love for Jesus has fizzled, return to the things that were present when you were walking closely with Him. So He tells us and them to remember, also repent. Now, anything, no matter how good, that keeps you from your love for Jesus is a sin. We are to surrender these things before Him and watch Him begin to move in our life once more. So we ought to remember, we ought to repent and also return. See, at the heart of Jesus' message is a loving call, return to Me. As we turn from sin, we turn toward Jesus. Amen. We simply must return to Jesus. So how do we get love and passion for Jesus back where it needs to be in our church? We must return to Jesus. When we return to Jesus, we will regain a love that truly does permeate everything we do. It's a simple formula, really. See, when our love for Jesus is wrong, nothing is right. But when our love for Jesus is right, He makes everything else right. Amen. So remember, we have to remember. We have to repent and we have to return. See, the wonderful thing about the grace of Jesus is that it doesn't matter where we've been or what we've done. His grace is greater than all our sin. So throw yourselves today in the loving arms of Jesus and watch Him bring back your love for Him.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and still can fill with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live. Oh, love spills over and music fills the night. And when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus. Kiss the world goodbye, then go in peace and laugh on glory's side, and fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, and live.
Oh, yes, we honor you today, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. That's Chris Rice and the Untitled Hymn. Friend, I do thank you so much for, wow, just your time and your attention today. And don't forget, coming up tomorrow, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Praise the Lord. We all love our Fridays, don't we? Mark and, Lord willing, Jason in the studio tomorrow, as I know he's recovering from kidney stone surgery procedure that took place on Tuesday. So be praying for him. But in the meantime, remember, as you head out on this Thursday, that you are salt, you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.